Are we in order?
I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Here.
April Bingo.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King. Stan Kowalski.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin. Colleen Stone.
Here.
Steve Trombley.
Here.
Charles Simpson.
Resolve that Superintendent of Schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the agenda. I have a couple changes here. Page 204, under A, there is also a CPSE report. Should have been in there, you had that in your packet. And then under number two, appointment, we should have had Sarah Bell under appointments A, there should be Sarah Bell, that is instructional, and the effective date will be 5/23/12. And then on the last page, public comment, we forgot to put 15 minutes in there. Public comment at the end will be 15 minutes.
Make a motion with the favor.
By Richard.
Second.
By Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? In public comment, is anybody that would like to address the board at this time? Yes, sir.
Yes, I want to read a letter that I sent to the board. To all people on Board of Education members, I'm writing to you in regards to item 6 on May 22nd, 2012 agenda, which seeks to extend the contract of the superintendent from July 1st, 2013 to July 1st, 2015. I do not have a strong feeling either way on whether or not Mr. Amos should have his contract extended by 2 years, but it would be prudent to table Mr. Amos' extension for the following reasons. Mr. Amos' contract does not expire until June 30th, 2013, which is over 13 months from now. There's no language in his current contract obligating the district to a 13-month notice for renewal or non-renewal. It seems to me this could be accomplished at the beginning of the school year, which would be a similar time frame to Mr. Amos' last extension in 2009. The superintendent's evaluation is held on or around July each year. This evaluation is confidential and is kept so by the board. This would be a perfect opportunity for the three Board of Education members to participate in the evaluation process of Mr. Amos. This is logical since the three newest Board of Education members, along with the 6 Board of Education members going forward, will be the ones working with Mr. Amos. Debbie, April, and I should be given a chance to offer our input out of professional courtesy. Mr. Amos' evaluation is based on performance criteria established by the current BOE. Three new BOE members will need time to review the criteria so they can offer input on performance criteria and the evaluation process going forward. The community should be given the opportunity to comment on extending Mr. Amos' contract and the rationale for this extension. The community will be obligated to the financial terms the BOE negotiates. Transparency and openness with employees and the community is critical. This school district has seen a lot of division in the last couple of years. The principal swap upset many members of the community, as did the voting error on the budget last year. I believe that the board decides to extend Mr. Amos' contract so soon after the election, and before the new members are sworn in, division within the community will grow. This next year is going to be an extremely tough budget year, and we need everyone united in order to meet the challenges. Again, adding transparency and openness to decision is a critical first step in bringing everyone together to get through the tough times ahead. I have spoken at length with April and Debbie and think we have some good ideas. The current BOE members have the benefit of being privy to information critical to the decision-making process. Please allow the three newest BOE members an opportunity to review the documents pertaining to Mr. Amos' extension so that we can begin working together on the future of our school. If you have not, I did send this by email. If you didn't get a copy or didn't have a second email, I do have additional copies if you'd like one. Thank you.
We have about a minute left.
Okay, I will be brief. I again would like to make a comment on item six, the extension of the superintendent's contract. To me, this seems like one more move that would again divide the community and is a manipulation to take our current sitting board members that will have to work with three new board members and divide them before they even get a chance to unite and start working together. I hope that this board decides to table this item until they have had the chance to talk to employees that work with Mr. Amo, have worked with Mr. Amo. Some of you were elected to a board at a time when the morale was low in the school district, and the result of that was the moving a superintendent out and bringing in a new one. I feel our current morale in this school is as bad as it was back then. I think by voting, by passing this amendment or whatever, it is going to be very detrimental to the morale of this school. And if you don't think so, I once again ask the board, put it off even if it's for 2 weeks and take an opportunity to investigate and talk to people that have been involved in this district and have worked in this district and find out what is really going on. Because I personally, at this point, although I have attacked the board and I apologize for some of the things I have said, feel that this board has also been manipulated.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to reports.
Number of good news items, again, to report on. The junior prom and the after prom school festivities were held this past week, actually Saturday night. I think Mrs. Buckley, Mrs. Stone, and Mr. King were there, and we're again impressed with the organization for the event by the junior class advisors led by Linda DiStefano and Keith Lapeer, as well as the overall behavior and deportment of our students at the event. It was pretty outstanding. The event continued beyond the dinner, as the majority of the students also attended the after prom celebration in the high school, and that lasted up to about 4 o'clock in the morning, in my head. The comments from the students and the staff alike were very positive, and there were no incidences to report, and that ideally is why the after prom party has been such a success. It gets the kids, you know, off the streets after an evening like that, and we're very pleased with that. Also pleased to say that through the generosity of Knight's Auto, our reliable and safe car was again donated for the drawing for those students who remain. And to that end, I should quickly say it's the fifth year, I believe, in which Knight's Auto has done that for our district. So again, that will be a follow-up appreciation letter on behalf of the board. Be happy to do that. And congratulations are in order for Miranda Arthur, the individual whose name was drawn. I understand Miranda does not yet have her license, but she's made it clear she plans to change that pretty soon. So good for her. Congratulations, Miranda. Leanne Short is pursuing two separate grants that, if are awarded, will provide welcome resources to our district and students. And also Stacey Maggie, high school transition coordinator, is submitting a grant that, if she's successful with it, will result in a will span a 3-year period of time. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the grants. The first one that Leanne is completing would enable the district to have, again, the services of a part-time resource officer. The board will recall that we had a resource officer for a number of years through SED funding, and when that money dried up, that was discontinued several years ago. As a result of our involvement with school improvement grants, and as an angle to, in fact, get a part-time resource officer back into the district if it's just so wishes of the board. So we're excited about that possibility. The second grant would enable the district to have services of a mental health specialist specifically assigned to work with some of our special needs population students. This population is often challenged by anger, troubled home environments, attendance, and dropout concerns. And as a result, in-house mental health services for the middle school, high school population, targeted for those groups alone, could help address these and maybe some other challenges these kids are facing as well. Finally, as I mentioned, Stacey Maggie is submitting a 3-year grant, application, to increase opportunities for work skill development for high-risk identified students. The work skill development, by the way, would involve not only providing additional training for those students so they can get some job skills, ready-to-work skills, but also give additional placements in the community for them to get first-hand experiences in a number of work settings. That's an exciting grant just turned in. I think we just completed it. It was just completed today entirely by Stacey's work. And that would amount to approximately $100,000 per year for each of 3 years if she's successful, if we are successful in getting that. So we wish those grant writers a lot of success. I've been also been in conversation with an agency that helps districts arrange for placement of exchange students in our school district for a school year. Remember, we talked about that a couple months ago, about the possibility of making that possible. Learned a lot of things about that process. I did complete an application of interest in the process of submitting it. Found out that public schools are responsible for obtaining a visa for these students different from a cultural exchange visa. Cultural exchange visas are limited, and you can come in for 2 or 3 months, and then you're gone. This kind of program that we're talking about would actually have students placed in our homes in our community with families that so were inclined to do so. But that requires a different visa. See, that's where Homeland Security gets involved. And this is a big Homeland Security issue. So the district must also register for an I-17 form on the Student Exchange Visitor Information System with the Department of Homeland Security, has to submit to a building inspection by Homeland Security to be certain that, I guess, the building is fit for the students to attend. And then there has to be an application fee on behalf of or by the district to apply for the students to come, and that application fee apparently runs about $1,500. So I haven't done anything with it. Obviously, there's money with it. It's going to take about a year for the whole process to take place. So I just wanted to bring it to the board's attention that it was a conversation started earlier, and it might require at some point a decision as to whether or not to contribute to the application, given that there is a financial amount to it. As a reminder, final points, school will not be in session on May 25th through the 29th. We've had an unusually mild winter, and that resulted in May 25th and May 29th being left over as unused snow days. We build them into the calendar, as you know, and then if they're used for snow, we're not in violation of state education requirement for class attendance, but if they're not used, there's an excess of days in the calendar. Those would be the excess days. Sandwiched in between those dates is May 28th, which is Memorial Day, which had already been identified on the calendar as a day that school would not be in session. And just communication with BOCES today was reminded that BOCES will treat Thursday the 25th as an afternoon early release day, and they also will be out of session on the 25th and the 28th. So that's my report.
Questions for the mayor?
The first item on tonight's agenda, there are several budget transfers. We're trying to anticipate and get ready for some year-end cleanup. So some of these transfers, one, we actually have 3 buses with engine, rebuilds, repairs, services, et cetera, that need to be done. So I'm requesting a $25,000 transfer out of the electricity budget line item and into aided parts to accommodate these last 3 failures. Additionally, we're anticipating that we're going to need 1 more diesel fuel fill-up prior to the end of the year, so there's a $30,000 request for that. Again, I'm taking the money from electricity. We ended up this year with some savings in electricity. We purchased that utility through co-op services with St. Lawrence Lewis BOCES. And St. Lawrence Lewis BOCES offered to school districts last year the option to participate in a hedge agreement where they would buy electricity on a day-before basis, and it's worked out in our favor. We opted in for 50% of our utility on the hedge and 50% on the day of. So we've actually, we're anticipating year-end $75,000 to $80,000 savings in electricity. And I've anticipated that and built it into the budget for next year as well. The co-op is, instead of doing a 50-50 hedge and regular buying, a 60-40, because we're more concerned with knowing what our fixed costs are going to be for utilities. So the utility is still delivered to us through the NYSEG line, so we still have to pay NYSEG part of the electricity fee, and the rest we pay to a company that we call SMEC. It's the co-op name for the utility that buys, and it's for municipalities and schools. I don't remember the region exactly, but it's like Potsdam, Malone, us, Chazy, Chateauguay area. So that's where I'm pulling the monies from to put into transportation in these other areas. The other large transfer is for substitute costs for substitute teachers district-wide due to just teacher absences. This time of the year, we're actually seeing it spiking during the last months. So principals tell me that this is kind of common for the time of year to see this. We budgeted it very lean last year, and again next year, we budgeted very lean, but we already have some negatives, as you will see in your packets that were mailed out over the weekend, in substitute teacher costs. And this transfer, I'm anticipating to cover us through the end of the year. I can't be sure until, obviously, we get through the end of the year and see what the absences really are. The savings, or the money that we pulled the budget line from to cover that, came from the Mrs. Short's, the CSE purchases of BOCES services, where she's already made changes this year and what she plans to do next year. So that's what we're using to cover the substitute teacher costs. And the final item is, again, we're in the negatives for home teaching, which is where it's mandate, and we have students who have medical excuses signed off by a doctor, and we're required to send a teacher home for home instruction. So we're transferring $10,000 to cover the remainder of the year and the negative that currently exists in that code. And that's a trend that, again, we're not really tracking prior year trends. We're exceeding prior year trends. Those are the budget transfers. The grant status, just to give you an overall update, we have billed New York State Education Department through the March financial statements for reimbursements on all the expenses that we've done through the grants. Your April financial statements were just mailed to you this past weekend. We have not billed for April yet, but that will be within the next 10 days or so. We'll get those out to the state. I'm working on an RFP for audit services. I'm a little behind the eight ball on this because I should have had it done 2 months ago. I want to get it in the paper within the next day or two, and need to let 5 days elapse between when it's published and when I actually have the opening of the proposals. But as soon as I do, I'll get together with the audit committee to review all of the firms that submit proposals for that, because this is something that we want effective for this year-end audit, June 30th, 2012. Typically, the field work starts sometime late July, early August, but we want to finalize who the firm is going to be and get the schedule set for that so that we know when the dates of field work are, because we coordinate with a lot of people that are actually not around during the summer for inquiries and questions. So that's through just a heads up that that's coming down the pipe. Also, I'm looking at the financial reports and anticipating that there may be some available health insurance unspent money this year. Once we bill out the grants final for the year, I'll have a firm number. People have changed with changes in employment, gives people the option to change their insurances when one spouse or another spouse in the family does that. We have open enrollment twice a year, January and July, and we have changes during that period as well. So it's hard to guess for sure with accuracy what the real number is going to be. But right now I have April, May, and June, with 3 more months to build grants out for health insurance reimbursement. So I'm projecting that we could still have some unspent money in that account for the year. If we do, I'd like the board to consider, and we'll talk about it further in audit committee, to get the audit committee to possibly bring a recommendation forward to transfer any leftover health insurance money into either the employee benefit reserve, which is the account that we have out there to pay for the, when people can build up their sick time over 20 years, and then when they retire, there can be a payout into the tax sheltered annuity account. That liability, which is on our financial statements and on our balance sheet, it's about a $3 million liability, but we only have $1.5 million in the reserve for that. So there's a use for it where we have the liability out there. Or another liability that I anticipate for future is unemployment insurance. We only had 30-something thousand in that account coming into this year. We've used some of it. Now, we budgeted in next year's budget for the reductions in staff. We did budget for people that were going to be laid off assuming that they collect 26 weeks, which I think is $10,400 off the top of my head for each person. It's in the budget, but that's just for next year. So for future years, if we could try to build up that unemployment insurance reserve, and if it's deemed not needed in a particular year, that's one of the reserves that the board has the ability to pull back into the general fund if it's determined to be excessive. I'm just kind of planting the seeds. I don't know whether those recommendations will be needed or not by the time we get through two more months of activity, the rest of May and June, but if so, it's something we need to take action on before the end of June. It's not something we can do in July during the audit. We have to do it before year end. I just ran a quick update today on the capital project, the $6.5 million capital project that's been out there, approved in 07-08, started in the 08-09 school year. For purposes of getting the phase two plan off to SED for approval, the architects had asked me today to verify how much money was left over. So I actually ran the reports for the last 5 years. And a year ago March, I had estimated that we would have approximately $1.6 million left of the 6.5 for phase two. And we were splitting that between construction items and technology items. I updated that number today, and it's actually 2.2 million, not 1.6. Part of the difference is, if you remember last fall, we had two emergency projects, domestic hot water and the fuel lines. Those together were about $300,000, which we went down to Albany and we got the state to say they would reimburse us through Excel. So that got pulled out of the capital project expenditures. So that brought my 1.6 up to 1.9. And then the extra $300,000 was what I was reserving for retainage in case there were change orders from the contractors in phase one that I was unaware of, that the bills were going to show up. But we closed out all of the contractors on phase one. Have not received any surprises or change orders requesting us to pay. So that $300,000 was put back in. That brings us up to the 2.2. So again, the estimates that the architect has given you are estimates. Once we get SED approval, we've really got to go out to bid on those various items, and we'll have firmer numbers to go on. So just a quick update, because I just had to send that down to Tetra Tech today. The other item is New York State CPA Society, of which I'm a member, had appointed me a couple of years ago to a public schools committee for which I participated in that gives me exposure to the comptroller's office and SED for meetings 5 to 7 times a year where statewide CPAs get together that audit schools, internal and external auditors, with the comptroller's office and with the state education department to just openly talk about issues that are facing schools and what they're going to look for and what they're not going to look for. And so it kind of gives us the heads up on what's coming. I didn't want to take for granted that we wanted to continue that. So in the reorg meeting, I'll be submitting for consideration the dues for 12-13 for the New York State CPA Society, which provides my participation in those meetings, and they reimburse for all the mileage and the travel cost for it. But it's still the school district giving me the time to participate in the meeting. The cost for that annual dues is $437. And the last item, I just got an email yesterday, an invitation from New York State School Boards Association to an invitation to sit on a task force to rewrite the study guide for the school business executive statewide test. And again,
excellent.
They will reimburse all the travel costs associated. They talk about paying a $100 stipend to participate, but it requires the district, there's 6 meetings per year. It's anticipated to be just a 1-year project for next year. They want to get it done in like 6 months. That I would need to leave the district and go to Albany for 4 meetings, but 2 of the meetings would be done via telephone conference or web conference. Mm-hmm. So that's something, again, before I respond with like some yay or nay, we participate or not participate. I feel like since I just took the exam not that long ago and kind of complained a little bit about the study guide, that I have no right to complain if I don't participate and help rewrite it. So that's it. That's all that I have.
Okay. Go ahead.
Question, is this the same organization that sets the standards for abusive personnel in the school?
I don't know. This is the New York State School Boards Association,
right.
And this particular task force is just being brought together to write. There's two different tests you can take through whoever designates a school business administrator certificate position versus the New York State Civil Service position, which was the exam that I sat for. And I'm not sure.
Well, it is a good lobby for the education program, so I don't know if they have an impact on modifying requirements for business executives.
Yeah, I'm sure I will be exposed to that. I'm hoping to have some input. Since I had an opinion.
There you go.
Steve, yes. I don't know how the board feels, but my personal opinion is Mary, her work is what she's going to step away from. And in my opinion, if she feels that she can handle this four meetings away and the 2 days, and if Mr. Amo's in agreement, I would say go for it. That's just my opinion.
Well, no, I think that's... Definitely.
That's quite an honor.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Not very much money, you get the exposure.
Yeah, that's very good, yes.
Thanks.
Carl?
All right. A couple things happened in the past few weeks. Good news items for the students. The AP exams are thankfully done. Personally spent 12 hours in that building. There was the variety show that was held for great success in the high school with Miss Fox and Jerry Senegal keeping us in stitches the entire night. Band had their final concert, band and chorus had their final concert this past week, and they will now be focusing on preparing for graduation, finals, and next year's material. Looking forward, students are looking forward to the break with the extra days off. They are not looking forward to the finals week and regents, but they'll manage. And for seniors, school is basically wrapping up, and everybody's looking forward to the end of the school year. So that's all that I have for now.
Thank you. In your minutes, resolved the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on the regular meeting on 5/8 and the election meeting on 5/15.
Motion.
By Pauline.
Second.
And by Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meetings held on the audit committee on 5/8.
Sure.
Richard.
Second.
By Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendations dated 5/22/12.
Motion.
Richard.
Second.
With Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the CPSE recommendations dated 5/22/12.
Motion.
Richard.
Second.
With Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following resignations on the day indicated.
Motion.
Who's blessed?
Kathy.
Second.
By Karen. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
By Richard.
Second.
By Dan. Questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following spring athletic appointments for the 2011-12 season. Richard.
Second.
By Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Question.
Yep.
We've talked before about exit interviews, personnel.
Yep.
The list that we voted on because of contingency budget, but a reduced budget from this one. When are we going to start doing active administrative personnel that are in positions?
Before I ask you if I follow the question, you want, you're requesting actually interviews for people whose positions have been terminated due to the budget?
Anyway, so we had talked about the year about doing exit interviews for all personnel for more of the information. And we'll try to indoctrinate that for a better part of the year. We haven't done so. So it's kind of pretty good in terms of people leaving. There's no reason that we should start.
That's a word of it. How can you do it?
Is that something? I thought Jen Hicks did exit interviews. Are you talking about an exit interview
no.
by the board?
Right.
Okay, so two different.
Jen doesn't do exit.
She doesn't do exit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There really, I don't think there are any real exit interviews.
No, I think we had actually was going to go on the agenda for the board retreat this year as a, with our goals and goal setting and the retreat time, but we have been discussing it for a while.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, and we just kind of got around to it. So
I didn't know if we were going to do it with people that we were forced to lay off, or
well, there's. I think if someone is being forced to lay off,
yeah,
then it's easier to have it be. There's some difference with respect to because of some other reason.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So. And you're going to have a pretty broad spectrum of people that are being laid off. And so why not get anonymous or at least closed exit interviews where it's anonymous or contained and get some clarity of your opinions.
You want to develop a... See, I guess that's why we brought it up for the discussion is because I don't know if you wanted a form that would be filled out or somebody that would come in front of the board and sit and talk in executive session or...
Well, we've been talking about it. So
yeah, we just haven't come up with any ground rules, make a
room available with a form, and then if they request to talk to the board, fine. I mean, some of them probably don't want to. But my point is, let them fill out a form. If you will, you make a form up some kind, you know, any comment they want to make. Give them a place where they can fill it out by themselves. And then if they want to see the board about it, well, that can always be done.
Right. I think we've discussed it for a while. We thought it was a good idea for a while. We just haven't implemented it.
Right. So
do you want me to develop a forum? Do you approve it? What do you want
me to do? I don't really have to have a forum. We just basically, I just say, do you have any comments or anything you want to say? You know, before you leave. Let them have at it.
And give them the option.
I mean, I don't really want to set asking questions, leave them somewhere. I want them to give me something. Give me something. Why I'm leaving. I hate to leave, but I think you can do this better, or you know, whatever.
Some people are going to be upset. That's fine.
Develop that and bring it to us then.
Yeah.
Some type of a.
To me, it doesn't have to be very extensive.
And then a line in there with a request to speak with the board or not. Resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the addendum to the current employment agreement by and between Scott A. Amo, Superintendent of Schools, and the Beatontown Central School District to extend the period of employment of the superintendent from July 1, 2013 through July 30, 2015, and authorize the Board President to execute said addendum on behalf of the Board. Mayor Richard?
Second.
By Colleen. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Being a new board member appointed last Tuesday, I really don't have the necessary information to make a decision on this, so this is no negative reflection of Mr. Amo whatsoever. But I would just like you guys to consider giving me the opportunity to have some input on the process. And I'd like some time to review the latest performance evaluation. Jordan was kind enough to get me the contract.
Yep.
I need a copy of the contract. I just have the addendum. And obviously, we'll have some public comment tonight in support of that. So if I can make a table
if I can make a motion to table this particular item.
Make the request, is there a second?
No, I wanted to have discussion.
When
you're ready.
Okay, all right, let's discuss it first and then we'll go with this.
Okay. I've heard quite a bit about transparency. I don't know how much more transparent we can get when you put it on the board agenda that becomes public. And having said that, I'd like to share with the board when I came on in July of 2005. My very first meeting, I walked in, executive session was called. Because executive session is confidential, I'll have to leave my statements there. But I was not given a contract. I have a copy of the minutes. The board members that evening were Karen Armstrong, Jane Donahue, Marilyn Dwyer, Kathleen Grenberg Funes, Frank Hay, Stan Kurofsky, George Palmer, Holly Sims. Following the executive session, we came out, and on the wherever it lined up in the agenda, it was acted upon. And I really, it's hard for me to understand as a new board member coming on why things are different now than they were when I came on the Board of Education. Now, three board members are joining six, and we have worked with the superintendent, I don't even know for how many years. Now I'd have to ask you, Scott, maybe five? Okay. I don't know. I hope not. I hope there aren't agendas coming on to work with us. It's going to be a very difficult time if there are already agendas. But in my opinion, we need stability in this school district during these financial times. And I guess that's all I would like to say.
Another comment on the first
one? Yeah, I was also elected to fill a vacant board seat when I came on this board, and I was not afforded any of this information from the board at that time. So all the people now that are saying we're not transparent, I find it kind of funny that you weren't transparent back then when you were on the board, because I was not given any chance to look at anything, and I had to abstain because I'm not going to do an evaluation of someone with no information. I would have abstained anyway because I wouldn't know the inside information that has gone on in that year for the evaluation. So I don't know how, if you haven't sat here, how you can evaluate someone when you could never go in an executive session, you could never talk, you never worked with the board. So I understand what everybody's saying, but why is this a different standard now than when we got on the board? It's just awful funny that we need to be super transparent now, or we're not transparent enough, but there was no transparency back then either, and that's where we're getting all the complaints from the public. So I don't know how you can make a decision on a board member as a board member when you have not sat and worked with.
I realize that I can abstain from the decision,
yeah,
with not having the information, and I guess I would just say I'm very anxious to work with the current board. I ran so I could be helpful. So I'm just asking you to consider, we were all new board members at one time, and I'm not privy to what took in the past, but I just think we have an opportunity to turn the page, and I think we can work well together, and I'm just looking for the opportunity just to review the information and sit with all of you and get the information on the subject.
You, Kathy?
Being that in the past, there was an executive session privy to the vote, if everyone felt comfortable with that is a possible suggestion, is that we do have an executive session beforehand so she gets an idea of where we're coming from. And then we can proceed with the vote.
First of all, I have a motion on the table to table this for 2 weeks. Is there a second?
Can we modify it to an executive session instead?
Anybody can request an executive session. We should have done it at the beginning of the meeting, but anybody can request an executive session. First of all, I got a rule on the. Okay, so I have no second on this, so that is defeated. Is there a motion from somebody to go into an executive session?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of going into executive session, just raise your hands, please. Two. Opposed to going into executive session? One, two, three, four. We'll have five. I'll be four. Okay, we go into executive session. Well, I don't have a quorum in this, so either way.
Three said yes. Sorry.
We don't have a quorum either way, so we just continue on.
Okay. My comments?
Yes, you can make your comments.
All right. I guess I have less to lose because I'm going to be here another month. This whole process, I want to make it clear to the board and the public. This is not something that happened overnight. And people have called me and I've had this discussion. If the board were to choose to get a new superintendent, it's not something that happens overnight. So that obviously is something that has to be looked at. Being someone that came on the board well after, or relatively recently, one of the reasons why I came on the board is because I saw some significant discontent on the board. My personal opinion was that things wouldn't get accomplished because of the discontent on the board. But I don't care whose fault it was or who it was. I don't care about it. The progress that I've seen in the last, particularly the last 2 years, I think is because there's some calmness on the board. And not everybody agrees on everything. We certainly have had our disagreements about different things. But one thing I'm cautioning is cynicism going forward. And I'm already starting to see it on both sides. Because on one hand, one can argue that to be completely adequately equipped to make a decision, you have to have been involved in it for a while. That's one option. And another option that says that just because things are done in a certain way, it doesn't mean there can't be growth and change as it was done systematically before. And that's just part of peer review. I'm not promoting Mr. Ayer. I'm just asking that going forward, to kind of behave like adults and have openness to go in and discuss things, at least for information. Not because we beat each other up about what happened before, what's happening now. That's ridiculous. All right? Leave the agendas and the personalities at the door and have an open mind. All I'm asking. And the same goes with this, for this decision about this training. So if no one's open to having a discussion, at least for courtesy of information and some well-being, that's fine. We move on. But at least let's try to have an open mind and some positive growth for all of us.
Any comments? Do you want us to do a roll call, please?
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Abstain.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King? Stan Kroski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
In financials result, the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee. Second by Richard.
Second.
Second by Pauline. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the Board of Education accept receipt of the warrant report for March 2012.
Second.
Motion by Kathy. Second by Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the budget transfer report for March 2012 and due to and due from report as of March 2012. By Richard?
Second.
Second by Kathy. All in favor? Opposed? Result that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept a donation from the Beacontown Booster Club in the amount of $2,961.50 for boys' soccer uniforms. by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Karen. Questions? Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King. Dan Grosky.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Move the list.
The list by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Stan. Any questions I need? Mary explained in your report.
I didn't hear what you said.
I asked the board if they had any questions. With a roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King. Stan Karofsky.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes. Any other additional items to discuss? We have a report from the operations committee. About a couple of meetings. Leonard was not able to be here tonight. If one of the bigger things that we have done or accomplished is we did meet with the people, the representatives from the Dodge Library, and we were able to inform them at that time that we do own that building, we do have clear title to their building, and that we really needed to proceed with doing something with the building. They understood that. They're hopeful that if when the building is sold, that they can work out some type of an arrangement with the new owners. Talked about it's not really feasible for them to purchase the whole thing themselves. There's no room there for them to go with their own water and sewer system, so if they're kind of attached to that building, it's kind of it's really unfortunate that it's tied in the way it is. But I think that after speaking with them and making sure that they understood, and that was our main concern, is that we wanted to make sure we spoke with them before we went any further. But it's the operations committee's opinion that we are ready to place that building on the market and looking for board approval to do so. I don't know if that's something we can make a resolution tonight to do, or do you guys want to think about it for a couple more weeks or put it on the next meetings, or we can.
Just a quick question, are there costs involved with putting it on the market?
Did we check with that retail agent at CPS? They would get their percentage, as a real estate company, if that's what we're going to do.
No upfront costs?
I do not believe so.
I have not contacted anybody.
Well, why don't we do that then? Why don't we just contact some people, see what the process would be, and if there is no cost to the district, we could come back with a resolution to place that building on the market.
Okay, do you want me to contact commercial realtors that are first in the district before I go outside of the district, or do you have a preference on realtors countywide or statewide, or?
I don't know if there's commercial realtors in the district. I guess we would,
try to give them preference.
Well, that's
I don't know.
That's just my opinion.
Contact a commercial agency that doesn't have any upfront charges.
Yeah, that would be a big concern, making sure there's no upfront charges.
So maybe I'll try to come up with an RFP.
Okay. Right. I think that's probably what we need to do.
Maybe probably easier.
Yep.
Just as an aside, the costs now of providing water and sewer to the Dodge Library is being borne by the Dodge Library. Taxpayers aren't paying for that now.
Yeah.
We build them for that. So we kept it open.
Need to winterize it for the winter, it's still off on our service.
Right, right. The other. Okay, so we'll do the RFP and we'll come back with. If there's no cost, we'll put a resolution on for the next meeting. The next fairly major issue we've had, we have been, because of budget constraints, kind of putting off some maintenance items, I guess, for uncertain things, for trying to stretch them out a little bit past their life expectancy, I guess. Our track, which was, I'm sure, a considerable cost to the district, should have been refurbished 2 years ago. It is getting to the point of no return right now, and we are going to be extremely my opinion anyways, irresponsible if we don't do something with that track. It needs to be resurfaced. The lines need to be re-put on it. Saranac just had theirs done. I believe the cost was right around $65,000 to do it. We have a couple of repairs, Dan, I believe, that need to be done on our track that we do have the repair kits for. And I believe our maintenance people can take care of those minor repairs. But then to have somebody come in and resurface the track. So we were also looking for permission to go out to bid on that also, or RFP on that also, or find out what we can get for a price, what we can get for some professionals to come in here and do that. The other fact is that this is not in the budget for this year or next year. We're going to have to see if there's money somewhere to do this once we get a set price. But like I said, the lines are just about gone. Mr. Cook, they're going to make it through the year, I understand. They're going to make it through the year with the lines that are on the track right now. We'll get through this.
We're done.
This track. Oh, they're done.
Yeah.
Okay. So we made it through the year then. But that that's something that needs to be done. So I'd also like permission to go out for an RFP and then also we got to get a price first.
Yeah.
There may be requirements. I don't know because I haven't dealt with this before. But from an SED perspective, there's a fine line between maintenance and a capital project. And I don't know what oversight SED has on this.
Okay, there's no reimbursement on it, so I don't know if they have any. Dan's been grabbing or been gathering a lot of information on this. Maybe you guys can get together and let's see what we need to do on it. Something really needs to be done this summer with that belt, but Karen.
Do we have money in the budget, in the general fund, that we can handle such an expenditure?
One of the areas in the budget that there is going to be savings is we just closed on the bond, the long-term bond refinancing, and that's going to result in $52,000 to $54,000 worth of interest savings next year due to that refinancing. So that item is in the budget. That the board could do a budget transfer. I would just want to make sure that I didn't ask the board to authorize a transfer when SED had some kind of oversight on it. I want to cross that T first.
That's fine. And if we can go out.
And I'll touch base with Saranac as well. No need to recreate the wheel, but
right.
Just what
Dan,
have they done?
Dan spoke with them, and they just have their resources, so I think that's where. Adam, do you have something?
Yeah. So on big incisions like this, how close is it to a point where you can't use it?
It's there. It's there. They were, Mr. Amo went to the, or actually the track people asked to meet with Mr. Amo, and they told him that they weren't sure they were going to make it. The lines on the track right now are gone, just about, and it's a safety issue.
Well, I was going to ask questions. Is it a safety issue?
Well, it's a safety issue. Keeping the kids in the right lanes, they have no idea where they're supposed to be, and it's, well, I mean that's okay, but there's also concerns on measuring or knowing where those lines are right now, so that when it's resurfaced, they know where to put it back, and if they disappear, they really don't know where to put them.
I mean, you can just call it.
I'm sure.
To separate wanting to fix it versus is it going to kill the kid, right?
So. Oh yeah, I don't think we're
so
that type of thing.
Because we are talking about serious budget issues next year.
Yeah, we are.
So we gotta be at least realistic about whether it's life or death or life. So if we were to spend the money to fix it now, what has been the going rate that you know?
$65,000.
And is that going to be every year?
Years, you said, Dan?
Most of the time they're warranty for 5 years.
5 years.
But of course we're closing on time with this one. And I think help out just a little bit. I think the most important thing right now is if you don't have it resurfaced this year, you minimally need to maintain the lines. Otherwise, it has to be recertified, and that, I guess that turns into a serious process. And those are your options like that.
So if we were to just do the lines, then what would that cost instead?
That would run anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000.
Okay. So we have $3,000 to $5,000 right now. If there was a warranty in the package when it was originally done, What was the warranty like on that?
It was 5 years.
And it's already lasted past the 5 years?
Correct.
So was there a warranty extension offered that they had?
I'm not aware of.
So...
There's been a warranty for 10 years, not over.
Right. Well, but my point is that when we do these kind of things, we should have some sort of schedule where we anticipate this and we kind of try to mitigate it in some fashion, right?
We did, but we've been blowing it down the road for a good amount of money.
Been in the five-year plan. It's been in the five-year plan for over and over. It just, you didn't have the money.
That's good for the public to know.
Well, and we're at the point now where it's, if we wait much longer, it's going to ruin the track and it cannot be resurfaced.
Okay, so that was going to be the next one. All right, so let's say you spend $3,000 to just put putty lines on it, and at what point, how many years from now, does it become a safety hazard, a real safety hazard? Not kids running into each other where we're going to trip on it.
I think what Mr. Trombley asked is, on the RFPs, as we spoke about in the operations committee, if we got some RFPs, it would give us an opportunity to speak to some professionals, people who have history with this, how long the track would last if it was resurfaced, and how long it will last if it's not resurfaced. The biggest concerns, again, like I said, is the lines and maintaining the lines. Either you have to maintain the lines or not use the track. But again, if you put lines on, how long is the surface going to last before that starts breaking down completely where it turns into a safety hazard? Right. I don't have the answer to that. I don't have the
That would be my strongest concern is a safety hazard. Lines being there, you know, that's something we can work with. Maybe, I don't know,
On a given year, it's much easier to find $3,000 to $5,000 to reline the surface than to try to find $65,000 in what we're facing in budgets right now. That we really need to plan for the future.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you think about it, but I've been on tracks in third-world countries. They don't have any problem moving gold medals on really crappy tracks. So, I'm going to differentiate a broken ankle versus
the. According to the coaches, and this is secondhand passing this on to the board, the lines, the issue with the lines are issues of getting the track certified to the New York State Athletic Association to allow you to let them in. So somewhere in the process
Well, if we can't do anything about it, then we can't do anything.
No, I'm just asking again for public information that the question, their concern was primarily the lines in the future as opposed to the track is, you know, riding underneath their feet. They understand that there's fixes, as we've explained it, that are possible. But their primary concern for next year is that if they're not sure, I'm going to do this, mm-hmm. I don't know. They're not sure that if the track itself will be certified,
right.
Allowing anybody to participate from the athletics, New York State Public High School Athletic Association. So that was it.
Is there any chance, I'm just reaching out, is there any chance that if it's a safety issue, they can fall under an emergency thing? That's
no.
No, they're not going to give us any money anyway.
No, it's not a.
This has to be placed in a larger context, a larger discussion. Are we going to have sports or are we not going to have sports? And if we do have sports, are we going to have safe facilities or are we not?
Right.
So we've gone 10 years now on a 5-year track. We paid somewhere, I don't know, we paid somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000 for that track.
I don't know.
But when we spent that money, I assume the board didn't expect it after 10 years not to be usable.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've blown it off because we haven't had the money. And at what point they come in here and they say, okay, you waited too long, now you can't resurface it, the track's dead. Mm-hmm. Then that we wasted all that money. So my point is, you got to make the decision. Are we going to have the sports or are we not? And if we have them, are we going to upkeep the facility? We cannot keep blowing it down the road. I mean, we've blown it down the road 5 years now.
Yeah, well,
you know, we're lucky it's still there.
And I think, you know, Dan made the point also, which I started to, is that if we get the professionals to come in and let us know exactly at what stage this is, I would like to get somebody in personally that doesn't have any, that's not going to bid on it. Just somebody to come in that will give us their but that's going to cost us money.
It will save you money.
Yeah. That's going to cost us money. But these other people are going to come in with at least with prices and let us know the life expectancies and
But again, if you line it for $250,000 next year, you resurface it and you blew that money away.
Well, that's what I mean. That wouldn't be smart either to do that. Or, you know,
but it might be enough to allow sports to happen where it wasn't right now.
Yeah, there's.
You need to get some more information.
So if we, if we bring you back more information on this, and Karen, I'm sorry, you had something.
That's okay. The thing that I remember, even to me, more important than the line was the fact that I believe it was lane number one. There were, I took from the description I read, there was a chunk of track not there or crumbled or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fixed by the maintenance department.
Right.
So that's saying to me that this is deteriorating to the point we either have to do something. I'm assuming the Board of Education that put that in the building project had some kind of long-term financial plan that it was going to be maintained.
Right. So. Yeah. I think the kit, we've used the term maybe incorrectly, but the patch kit, or the kit, if you will, that the district could apply to fix that or remedy that particular situation is doable in-house. You cover all bases. It's more of a long term. Is there a safety issue long term? What's the cost, et cetera, et cetera? It seems like more information should be brought back.
Kind of like a road. You patch your road enough, and you know why that they repave it.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so is it okay if we get some information in this, even if we have to do the request for proposals, so we can get some people in here to give us some prices? Mary, you can get your questions answered as far as SEP, but I don't think they're going to have any say because it's not aidable. The other thing we really discussed was the phase two. Mary gave a pretty extensive report on phase two tonight, that we're going to need to, with the money that is left, get our list. We already do have a prioritized list, but to get it set on exactly which items on that list we can do with the money that we have left. So that's something that needs to move along fairly fast right now because we're at that point where time's running out. Better be done. Does anybody have any other?
Do
we have anything else on that on the operations committee first that I missed?
Yeah.
And did you?
Okay. No, sir.
That about it? No. Okay, Richard.
Just explain the choice between doing it during the year or next summer, because that's what we're looking. We have to make the decision.
Well, there's some things that really can't be done during the school year. They're going to need to be done next summer, and there's it's all going to run into the time frame according to Tetra Tech. We're going to need to get going with the times that we can do this. We can't do certain things during the school year. It disrupts the students too much, and they can't be. We can't have the construction workers in with the students. Some things can be done during the school year. Very few, though.
Yeah, but not to interrupt you, but my question is that we were told that if we did it that way, it would cost us more money. If we did some things during the year versus doing it all in the summer, then it would be cheaper to probably do it in the summer and not piece it in the fall.
Right, it would be cheaper trying to get it all done in the summer if we can get it prioritized and get it all in. But they didn't think we were going to be able to get it in.
One of the, and Mary, join in on this in a moment, please.
One of the
concerns, if you will, registered by Tetra Tech, and Mary, representing the district, introducing the possible concern, is whether or not the term of the ban is running out, and we've already, the district has invested the money into the ban to get the project going. If the project completion date, that's the question on the table, if there's a question about the project completion date exceeding the window when the ban was good for, would there be an additional obligation on the part of the district to have a second ban finish the whole project? We're not clear on the answer to that question. Tetra Tech has a viewpoint on it. Mary's working with fiscal advisors to get, and in fact, we tried to get a teleconference call the last 2 days to get all three of those parties on the line and say, talk it out loud in anticipation of tonight. Unfortunately, that teleconference meeting has occurred yet, and they couldn't get their schedules lined up. But that's next to be done, is to clarify that point that Mr. Levine was bringing up. Will there or will there not be an expected ban charge or resubmittal, if you will, If there isn't, that means one thing, project, if they, for example, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn on this, correct me if you feel I have, if it's permissible for the project to be estimated to be done by a blank period at this cost, then you don't have to resubmit, is our general understanding of it. But if there's some reluctance or hesitancy or don't do it that way advice to be given, then the work should all be done within the time frame of the band to avoid having to pay again or pay some more for another band reissuance. So we're trying to research that. Again, we're hopeful to have the answer for tonight, but literally just before the meeting, you kind of check faces and found out they still haven't set up their time. So we'll keep pressing for that conference call and bring the information to your attention as soon as we get it.
If I can just add to that, with the bands, the project was approved 07-08 timeframe. 08-09 was the first year of the $6.5 million capital project that the voters approved. And at that time, the first band, which is a bond anticipation note, those are temporary year to year, and every year we come back and ask the board to authorize renewing the band for the next year. Originally, the full project that was approved at $6.5 million was fully banned. We got debt proceeds of full $6.5 to have cash on hand to pay the contractors. The bids came in under what the architect estimates were, so there was money left over that gave us the opportunity to have phase two, but we had to complete phase one before we could start in phase two, prioritize. That's what we've been doing the last year. According to fiscal advisors, which again is just an advisor, they're not our architect, they don't benefit by shortening or extending the project. They just provide services to maximize the state aid and building aid that we get back. They have advised us that there are rules by SED which say when you open a capital project, you kind of have a five-year window for your bands. You're allowed to renew them within 5 years. After 5 years, you've got to bond it for long-term bonding. And for our bonds, those are 15-year terms. So what fiscal advisors has said is, come on, wrap it up, wrap it up. They've been saying this for a year. You've got to wrap it up. And it's kind of stretching out. Well, we're in 2012, started in 2008, we're in year four. They're saying, we start July 1st, that's the last year.
Right.
So they're saying it's got to get wrapped up because you've got to go to bond. If you leave an uncompleted portion out there to wrap up, then they're saying that we would have two separate bonds because we don't know the cost of what hasn't been done yet.
Right.
We don't really have a good track record at estimating because the first phase came in at, you know, a little on $4 million out of the 6.5, so
right.
We're trying to figure out what to do with the rest. Tetra Tech disagrees with the advice, and they say they've done this lots of times before, and you can estimate to go to bond for your long-term debt, and no problem, we'll just estimate it next January or February, and they can finish it over the next summer, which is a different school year for us.
Right.
So we just need,
we need certainty on that issue.
Right, and that's what we're going to clarify.
I think that's analogous to the typical cash flow effort in a business, and hedging on a rate to maintain your cash flow works as long as you know that further down the line you can be able to control the cash flow. But that's not where we are. The cash flow is going down south. So I don't think that Tetra Tech's argument is valid from a financial point of view.
Either way, we've got to vet it out, and we need experts that do this all the time to guide us through this.
Right.
Because once again, I mean, this has happened to us in the past. We've had both people at the table, and we've followed advice and had to back up and do over. We can't back up and
but
do over next year.
There's a conflict of interest.
This advice is a neutral number.
Right.
So but none of the money was our money from the general fund. It was something we got from the state, so it's a separate.
No, it was debt.
It's a liability.
It's debt.
I know, but it's not.
Right.
It's not. We're getting the money from the state for it.
Well, the longer you stretch it out, your aid and your Excel aid may not combine to make you whole.
I understand,
right.
But I'm saying that you're talking part of it, and a lot of it's already done. So it isn't as bad as it looks. Someone's already completed.
Okay. We are, just for the full board to know, I had sent a request in to fiscal advisors to let us know how soon they could be available to do a telephone conference with Tetra Tech also participating, so we can have all the questions put on the table at the same time and just finalize it, and what the advice is going to be and the strategy. We're still waiting to hear back from them on what that is. I know they're actually out, like when they come to work with us, they're here, they're not in their office in Syracuse, they're here working with us, so they're out at school districts in the field often, so I don't expect them to get right back to me immediately, but they're usually back to me within the week.
Right. Well, as soon as we get the answers to them, we'll have an operations committee meeting, so we'll know exactly what we have to do with money, and we can prioritize the list at that time.
Well, and I think the operations committee has made their list expansive enough
to cover whatever
you want to do. You've got the money, there's money there. It's just a question of which items on the list can be done in the time period you have available.
Okay.
See,
yes,
two things. If I were you, Mary, I'd get the responses in writing so we have it on file.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I don't know if it's possible when we go out to bid, this might be something we could check, to give a deadline date to the contractor. And if he or she does not get done what's supposed to be done, there's a penalty phase.
Yeah, we can do that.
To make us
full. We have Joe write some clause up to that.
Yep, we can do that. Anybody else have any other additional items to discuss? Richard?
I do. I just want to notify the board that I'm going to be resigning from the CBES board.
Okay.
So I want the board to understand that I will no longer serve on it.
Can we have some discussion on that?
Yes.
As I've expressed to the board, I've had a problem with the largest school district in Clinton County not having representation on the BOCES board. And for us to be the second largest, I'm now expressing that concern. Do we know what happens if Red resigns? Can we appoint a member?
I don't believe so.
It can't sit vacant?
It's a voted seat, so it's going to sit vacant until the next election.
I make the assumption this has something to do with reports.
Well, I've been on there a while now. It's my fourth year. And there's no benefit for our board to have someone sit there when there's no one listening. I mean, you go through a meeting, you have 25 minutes to go through 100 positions, and yes, they don't discuss anything. So, I mean, to go there and you bring forth a problem that you've heard and everybody says it didn't happen or you're crazy or it's not going on, and I spend hundreds of hours a year serving and I don't need to go there and waste my time, you know, because that's basically what you're doing.
Would it help if the board as a body attended a meeting or two?
You could, but you're not going to change. You've got 15 sitting members on the board and everybody thinks everything's great. So, you know, you bring up something and someone says, well, I don't believe that's happening. So what kind of discussion is that? I mean, you know, how long do you sit there and do that? I've been doing it for almost 4 years, and it's just a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. Maybe somebody else, you know, that could run next year, but it's going to take you time to learn the system, and it's frustrating.
So what's the risk of you not being there?
Well, there have been other things. When I was there before, they were trying to do the averaging, and I said, there's no way that's beneficial to the home school. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't pass, but that's the only thing the whole time I've been there. My recent problem is the report they had at PAI mm-hmm. and the school for possible reductions and savings, and they did have someone do it in-house after and basically wiped it all off the board. So we paid for a study, mm-hmm. and then they brought someone in and they didn't like it. So they brought someone from the house and changed it all. So what's the sense of sitting there? I mean, I'm just so frustrated with it, I don't want to do it anymore.
Could we get a copy of those reports, Mr. Raymond?
Yeah, sure.
I'm assuming they're a public document?
The minutes are being published anyway.
Yeah.
Too long.
I'm sure I have a copy of that
report.
The report itself.
Yeah, for budgeting next year when we're asked to vote on the budget.
Yeah. What would Richard, you're a little more so you can add to this, but there was the study. I'm very familiar with them. Mm-hmm. There was a study that they were commissioning. Their board, if you will, was to take consideration on that study. The study itself, the results, or the recommendation to the board was not known or not made apparent to the, you know, any of the districts. So the question, if your question is, can we get that recommendation, how that recommendation went forward, I think we can do that. Just
I have a copy of the last one. It was overdone over the old one. See, they had Jackie Keller, their lawyer,
yeah,
was supposed to check it for legality,
yeah,
and she completely recommended nothing at this time.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's...
But that was a board activity, a public document, right?
So yes, it is.
The answer would be yes, public document, certainly.
Thank you.
Did Joe take a look at your attorney's response and have any opinion on that?
I don't know. How did Joe...
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, is the response, the change is based on some legal aspect, and if so, did Joe have an opinion?
Well, for example, like, just one that sits on my head, the PAI principle. Mm-hmm. They said they can't get rid of them because FAA won't let us.
Yeah, it's part of the part.
Yeah, 47. Yeah, how does FAA have any say one way or the other?
Because it's a part of the federal requirement that as the institution is going to do that sort. So it's kind of like...
If you apply to SED, you get a waiver not having a principal on site. They have another building right next door. I could hit it with a golf ball.
What I'm saying is that in order for the program to be successful, it has to be certified by the FAA. And the FAA doesn't keep track of what the education program says, right?
I would be very surprised if it was a requirement that they had to have a principal on site. I would be very, very surprised.
So that's a good question to ask.
Well, actually, they do have a principal on site.
Well, they do, but the point was on the college.
They have two.
Yeah.
They have two?
Yes. Dr. Mack is a principal, certified. He's over there. As well as
at the PAI
facility?
He doesn't run it.
He could if he was directed to.
Well, then that's not.
That's what Ben's talking about.
What my issue was.
Came up with a big study to reduce.
Yeah.
And all they did was come up with another study to.
But here's my issue with that.
Counter the other one.
Sitting here as a board member. Mm-hmm. That they're bringing me a study that they haven't even requested from SED a waiver. So if SED said you can't have a waiver, the point's moved, but they never asked. They never got anything from FAA in writing saying you have to have a principal. So I'm saying all this is recommended, but no backup paperwork. So I'm saying, why am I arguing about it if if SEC doesn't give us a waiver, SED, then it's moot. What are we talking about?
I'll ask the FAA, because I know the guy who's in charge of that, put certification part.
Yeah.
That's just an added cost back onto us, because we're paying a separate bill for administration that we voted on. So we pay a student fee, and then we pay the administrative bill.
Administrative
budget. So that's just extra cost to us.
And just for clarification, the Board of Education directed Mr. Levine to look at that report when it came in to help the district in the near future and a couple years down the road with maybe some refund of prior year expense or whatever. And so thank you for trying that. And I know if you want to resign, but thank you for allowing that discussion.
I don't think the problem is going to be just on the PA, because I think the issue was overhead there, right? They've had a lot of cuts, but the issue is still...
Well, my point, whether or not there is or not, is another conversation. Oh. My big problem is the board isn't involved in those decisions. You know, when you get a paper on that, it's all on there, and they run through it in 20 minutes. You could have 110 items. They could run through that sucker in 25 minutes. So there is no board input, really.
So should you write a letter to some governing body about it?
Well, you're one school out of 15.
One of the largest.
Yeah,
I agree with Karen. Yep. It's sad that the two largest component districts with your resignation won't have representation.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it doesn't do us any good to have it. But what I'm saying is if there's an issue, I can talk to the board and say, Scott, call over there and get it resolved, because you won't get it resolved through the board. It's just not done that way there. They just don't do that.
Well, I disagree with you, but it doesn't, shouldn't stop us from addressing it when we come in body.
Right. Wait. Very well.
It's our money.
I know, but it's a way BOCES is set up. You have schools that might have two kids in CBS, your CB Tech, and we had 100 just in CB Tech. But their vote negates mine.
Yeah.
So my point is, I can send them $4 million. They might be sending them $60,000. They have the same vote you have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know what you're saying, but, you know, there's a lot more small districts in it than there are larger districts, and there's a lot of them from Essex County on.
So am I hearing that you're suggesting the legislature do a weighted vote program?
No, but I'm just saying it's the way that it is set up. It isn't set up like us. They don't do things like we do. And there really isn't any board direction that they're ever going in. It's their direction that the board approves.
Okay.
So, I mean, how to sit there and go down there hour after hour and hour and listen to that and not be able to change it. Like I said, if you have an issue with me and I bring it to the board, he has a better chance of getting it done than I do. You can run against someone else, can run next year. It's a great luck for you.
Could I make a recommendation that the board seek out just exactly what the what our process is, that maybe we would be able to replace Red with another willing person that would go in with that?
He's going to research.
Okay.
Graham is going to research that.
And get school on call.
Check our options first.
Spelling out that process.
We'll make sure we check our options first.
Yeah, check all the options, because maybe we can have somebody else come in and fight for a while.
And if that's okay. If that happens, I'll make myself available for any questions they have.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any other additional items?
Yes. I've got two. Under the funds that we changed for three engines, I'm concerned about the bus issue. Okay. Last year, that was voted down. Okay. Last year was 87%. We would have gotten back. Now that's 87 cents on a dollar. Okay. To purchase a bus, we had a long-term bus policy where every year we would get four new buses. Now last year they weren't voted in, so we didn't get our four new buses. Now we're looking at $25,000 for engines. Now this is just going to get worse. Now, like I said, last year was 87%. Now if I had a chance, let me put it in perspective, I had a 10-year-old car. I had a chance to buy a new car for $10,000. Somebody was going to give me $8,700 for my new car, and I only had to put $1,300 in it. I certainly would have taken it to buy a new car. Now, this year, we didn't take that 87% reimbursement. This year, it went down to 67%. So, I don't know if it'll never go up. So I can see when we have to purchase new buses down the road, mm-hmm. it's going to be worse than, and I'm just concerned about it. Okay? Then my other concern is I'd like to have the administrators check the duties of the clerical staff, okay, and see how they're doing, or how many non-typical duties they're doing, okay? With the budget cuts this year, our clerical staff, of course, we did across the board, our clerical staff was cut too. So I'm afraid that with all the non-typical duties that are being thrown at them, that they're going to get behind in their own duties. Okay? I'm talking, I don't know, for example, the FOIL things that have been thrown at them, where they have to put everything aside and answer these. Okay? I'm afraid we might have to hire another clerical person, which was I'd like to look into, which we haven't budgeted for, but that money would come out of our budget, which is put aside for the kids. You know, so I would like to look into it and see if it's really harming our clerical staff the way it is going to be set up this coming year.
Are you basically looking for some input back?
Some input back on their duties and the non-typical duties, if it's doing anything to their regular duties as clerical staff, since they are going to be cutting back and they're going to be taking more duties on in the future.
Are you talking like someone has to do FOILs?
Yep. I mean, they have to stop what they're doing now and new foil, okay? But that's just one example. There's a lot of other non-typical duties that they have to do, but that's just one example.
Other requests for information?
Yeah, and, you know, whatever. Well, but I mean,
well,
it's...
One suggestion is, I think all requests for information should go through the superintendent anyway. If someone needs something to... Well, I mean, if someone's going to get married, someone's going to get married 25 questions, and it takes her 6 hours to do it, she's not doing her job, does someone need to say, well, what gets done first?
That doesn't really... If I can just reply to that, we have a records officer who responds to FOILs. So when requests are made, I'll just speak for the business office, I don't release information per se to anybody. It actually goes through the formal FOIL process unless you come to a public meeting such as the board meeting or an audit committee meeting. Then we speak of whatever's on the agenda for those particular meetings. Outside of that, we aren't releasing information. There isn't a rush of people coming in and getting information from a bunch of us. It's, we are following the formal FOIL process. And I can only speak from this budget year, the most recent 4 weeks versus last year. Last year was phenomenal, the requests we've had. We have not had that in this recent 4 weeks. I can't speak to the future. I can't speak to the future, but it does take... the records officer is the payroll clerk, so we can't always respond to things timely because we have payroll to do every week. And those tasks always take priority, and then the FOILs get filtered in. And the challenge becomes everything runs through the records officer, but it may require that person going to a different area or into the records archive to pull records from prior years.
Perhaps if I can, as quick as Colleen could add a comment, the question of time management is going to be one that we all will find multiple reasons to be concerned about in the future. I could, with my administrators, I'm looking at the front row, and I'm just imagining and predicting the amount of time that the new APPR process is going to require of them. For those who are not familiar, the board certainly, I think, has been kept up to speed, but just very quickly, with the requirement, with the annual professional performance review requirement put in place for the next year, there's a tremendous amount of brand new work to get ready for the implementation. There's negotiations that are ongoing now with the PTA to get agreement on the guts of it all, as required by law. When all of that is done, there's a tremendous amount of new time that's going to be asked of those individuals to perform what used to be evaluations that probably I would estimate could be accomplished with classroom observations times three, times meetings throughout the school year. You put a number on that. The quantified increase, well, I'll give you firsthand knowledge on it. There's a the Plattsburgh City School District has a committee that was fortunate to get a grant 3 years ago to develop their own model before the governor created, you know, the model, if you will, SED and the governor. And so they were sending people all the time for training. So they've had a couple of years head start on the training piece. Some of those, some of the teachers there volunteered to go through the model that they developed that it has since become the state's model. And some of the administrators in the district who had those students said, okay, we'll be the person, you know, we'll give this thing a test run out there on the highway, as it were. The estimated amount of time in each classroom from start to finish to do an evaluation or evaluation session is running anywhere between 4.5 and 5 hours per teacher. Now that's the documented requirement that SED is seeking for those observations. We have only so many administrators who are going to be in classrooms once this thing kicks off, as an example of time management. So I think the point you're making, Mr. Stone, relative to everyone's going to find stress over time. There's no question about it. I picked up the administrators because it's the most, you know, on my tip of my tongue right now. Same thing is going to be true with clerical. Same thing is going to be true with bus drivers, mechanics, and et cetera, because we don't have, on your point, I think here, the buses need repair with the repair component. The repairs require time. The time is the same people who didn't have that in the cycle are now having to make room to do all of that. So I guess the point
and it's really, you know, I guess it's a carry-on point to your lead-in, is that the system is going to create issues. Not necessarily are the people in the system suddenly not doing it well. The system is going to create more tense and pressured moments for mistakes to be made. And I would just use the examples that you provided as just some of the examples of all of us to be sensitive to as time moves on. Because time didn't get better. The calendar hasn't changed in 150 years. But the stuff that goes in it has constantly changed.
Question right there. How much of that can be mitigated with IT hearings? Because I think
we're making efforts.
I actually had a question to clarify, because what, if I may, what we consider regular duties this year become, whatever is thrust upon us, become regular duties next year. So, and last year's regular duties are different than the year before. So, if you're simply looking at what will change, because what you consider regular may be different than what we consider regular. So I would suggest, for consistency's sake, that we look at what will have to change in duties, just so that we're all on the same page. Because regular or not, those duties will still occur.
And technology does hold some promise. It's a two-edged sword. And Gary's very taught me that well over the last several years, that you get in new moves.
Right.
Technology brings both opportunities. It will sometime maybe closer to the July meeting, maybe a little bit middle of July. I'm going to ask Gary to report to the board on our technology status and also the changes that we're making to prepare ourselves for that kind of an onslaught of responsibility, and do so in a technologically smart way to reduce the time for the administrators to spend in those classrooms. Paper and pencil activities will just exasperate the time needed. Technology can cut through the paper and pencil time, but it's still new time.
Well, I noticed you have 98% success on that report you sent out, right?
Yes.
Yes. So what are the 2% going to work out?
Very good question. We, as you know, for the last 3 years, we've maintained a centralized registration process, and we've requested that as parents change phone numbers, addresses, and so forth, that information get funneled directly back to the central registrar so it can be shared at the building level. If the buildings get that information, it's shared with the registrar so that, again, it gets pushed out. The problem is we all should have certification as dentists, because getting information from some households is like pulling teeth. And when an address changes and a phone number changes, if we don't know about it, we can't contact. And for some, I don't have the number to tell you how often it changes on a daily basis, but the changes are constant. So that 2% is amazing that it's only that low. And those were usually that 2% was disconnected numbers. But that the system is working well, the school messenger system. But it's something new, and there have been some opinions on the part of households about it. But that maybe that can be saved for July.
I wonder if I'm following after the last vote with the buses. I agree with you entirely. I kind of feel bad. I think that we could do a better job of marketing the value of that and moving it and all that people. The only other thing I had was I love the report on
the toll banks of all information.
We should kind of discuss it. This is really good stuff. And everybody wants to go home, but this is about voting, so I think it deserves some time. Some observations from my point of view real quick are there were 55 blanks on the budget. People looking at what for the budget, I guess, and just on the people. Is that how I'm interpreting this? Right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of odd, but just to recap, on the budget itself, 68% voted yes and 32% no. Right? And so that kind of said, all right, everybody got the budget. Not a super strong margin, but it was a good point for margin. But what was interesting about the poll, though, is that, I'm sorry, 59% of this and 38% of what else? Those schools. The 68% I'm talking about is out of everyone that voted, only 68% filled out and supported the vote, and 32% of the ones that filled out the polls saying they rejected the vote. So out of 1,535 voting people, only 588 voted. I mean, filled out the polls. I'm losing here, right? So it tells me two things. Not everybody's willing to fill out the poll stuff. I don't know why, or whatever. But then as I started looking at the people that said no, that they would have voted higher than likely or somewhere than likely, if you look at that breakdown, 70% of those people would have been highly likely to vote if it was higher. 30% of the no's would have definitely voted no, obviously. And then if you extend that a little further to include the people that said yes, if you take the people that said yes, or the people that did the poll and said, well, maybe not, if it's a higher tax, then the probability is that about 45% the turnout would have got higher taxes, about 45% would have said no, and 55% would have said yes. So it would have been really tight. So that's kind of the bottom line of what I'm looking at. I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to take a look at it, evaluated it, but the comments on here were fantastic, the great feedback. I think it behooves us to try to do something in the next round, for next year, those of you guys, to try to promote the poll a little bit more, because it's great information. It's the only thing that tells you what the public really wants, right? And I appreciate Karen Pauline from
How many people do we have? How many registered voters do we have in the district?
8,400.
So no matter how good we get, we're still getting a fraction of the population.
Absolutely.
Which is the backside of that.
Absolutely. So, it might be a factor of a couple of things. One of them is maybe not having all the information on the budget or understanding it, or it could be just psychology of discontent with the institution. It may have nothing to do with whether the budget's good or bad. It might have a lot to do with it.
Well, sometimes you can overthink things. Someone says, I don't have the money, and I won't know.
Right. No, I hear you. But if you don't do this kind of stuff, you never understand. So.
Okay. And 15 minutes for public comment. Anybody would like to address the board at this time? Yes, sir.
Well, I'm kind of the person that shoots straight from the hip, so I'm going to get into it. First thing is, I'm not part of any clique. I don't align myself with the three individuals coming on the board. I don't align myself with the individuals that are on the board. I don't align myself with the superintendent's role. What I saw tonight didn't impress me. I saw a person who is a member of three people coming on this board whose voice on a very important issue has now been silenced. I think that was wrong. I don't think there was any reason or logic in that decision-making process. I think that there was no reason not to table that matter. There was certainly no reason for not even a second table that matter, unless there's already a click on the board, and I hope there isn't. And this next thing I want to say is I want to thank Mr. Karofsky and Mr. Mayor for having a servant's heart, having served on this board. And I wish everybody good luck in the future, but you all got to really put your personalities to bed and get down to serving us. There's over 750 people voted for those three individuals at the top. That's 750 more voices you signed up tonight on a very important issue. And the voters won't forget that. And they won't think that's openness. And I just think that you really all need to look in your hearts and see if you have a servant's heart anymore. If you don't have a servant's heart, it's all right to move on to something else. School board will be there. There'll be people coming on there that want to serve, but they have to serve the public and not themselves. I want to thank you.
Anybody else like to make a comment?
The exit poll, that was, I think, a good idea. I will say, and I'm not taking pot shots at anybody, so before defensiveness begins, I'm not taking shots. I'm telling you, these are some of the comments that I heard. Some people felt intimidated by the amount of board presence there at the survey point. I think if we could find a different means of having people volunteer that station, or somehow leave the forms and allow, you know, make it known that it's there, but make it more voluntary for people. I think there was a discomfort level, and it's you know, just a perception. I'm not saying that anybody was doing anything wrong, but, you know, there was a discomfort level with standing there in the presence of everybody and filling out this paper and putting it in the box. And so maybe I think it should happen again. I think it's a great idea, but I think we have to find a better means to implement it so that people feel more comfortable. Initially, you had said something about maybe coming out the other side and using one of the offices on the side as a place where people could go privately. That would be a good option to pursue in the future. This came together pretty late in the game, so maybe that didn't work out, but in the future, something of that nature, and something with someone, maybe not a teacher necessarily, even parent volunteers, something to man the station.
Yes, sir.
I want to make a couple of quick comments. On the phase two, as a member-elect, is there any information I can get, since it sounds like you'll have to act very quickly? I don't know if you're going to act before the end of the school year, or if it's going to be, you know, right at the beginning of the school year, or right, you know, sometime in July. I'm just wondering if there's some information I can get, so that way, if it does need to get rolling, and you guys say, well, we want to vote on it tonight, that I'm not sitting there going, I got no clue what I'm doing. I'd rather, you know, at least have some information so that I can look at it. Then on the question of the FOIL, I've done FOILs and I have the information emailed to me. I'm wondering if it wouldn't make more sense to get in the habit of having somewhere on the website where you can just post FOILs, so that, let's say, I FOIL something and somebody else comes and FOILs the same thing. Instead of them having to then go email that person, they could just say, it's up on the website. And in fact, what I would recommend would be take maybe the common documents or documents that you think would be most likely to FOIL and start just putting them up on the website in a certain area. So, you know, maybe you've got contracts. So just put all the contracts, they're all allowed to be FOIL, if you can FOIL them, just put them all up there. So that way, if I come into a request from Joanne could quickly look and say, it's already up on the website. You know, Eric, all you have to do is go here. And then that way you kind of avoid the having to gather the information. You know, if you're doing it a little bit at a time and kind of getting ahead of any FOIL requests, then you don't have to worry about some big overload coming at you all at once. Because hopefully, you know, over time you get about 50, 60, 75% of this, you know, because you're going to get, you may have three or four groups in town all asking the same stuff. Well, don't get in the habit of saying that. Just put it up on the website and then that way it's done. And then my final thing on the exit poll, I mean, I think 588 people, that's fantastic. From a feedback, if you can get 33% feedback on a survey, you're ecstatic. I mean, especially, this isn't like you're asking employees that you can easily ask kind of again and again, or you're asking people that you know you can ask routinely. It's a one-shot deal. So I thought it was great. I agree. I think the only comment I would say was, I think it would be nice to have it be a little bit more private. You know, but I commend Karen. I didn't see, was it Kathy who was the other one? Or Pauline, who was the other one?
Actually worked on.
Yeah, but I mean, who actually devoted the time? I mean, you know, that's giving up a lot of time for something that's not exactly fun. And as Karen said, she kind of suggested the idea, so she felt obligated to give up the time, and I want to say thank you for doing that. And that But I think in the future, I think to alleviate some people's, you know, some people's concern, not mine, would be to, you know, hopefully get somebody else, and then that way she also doesn't have to take up, you know, half a day. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to address the board? Yes, ma'am.
I just would like to say that I was a little bit disappointed tonight that there was no discussion on the superintendent's contract. Not necessarily just for April, who was a new board member, but for those of us that are sitting here on the floor, there was absolutely no discussion. And I also then found it very interesting that this board chose to take quite a bit of time to discuss the condition and the state of the track when there was absolutely no discussion on the superintendent's contract. And I also found it interesting that we're talking about a $65,000 one-time payment to fix the track that could possibly last us for another 10 years. And yet, if we think of the superintendent's contract, that now that it has been extended, this will now cover health benefits and things for the remainder of his life and 30, no? Oh, I'm sorry. If it extended as is, because there was no discussion, so we really don't know where that could go for 30, 40, 50 years, depending on the genes that Mr. Amos has and how healthy he is and his family and the amount of money that can result in. We talk about our children and the students in this school, and it's the same thing with the government right now and like with the post office. What caused the post office to go down is the fact that the federal government forced them to pay the money for how many years of retirement benefits and things like that, and that is something that is simply being done right here with this. And who is going to bear the burden of this for years to come is not going to be the people sitting here as the taxpayers, but it's also now going to be the students that are going to be graduating from college, and they prepare to come back and live into this community. They are also going to be footing this bill now, and I just think that it was a disgrace that this board did not discuss that this evening for the people that are sitting here, as well as for the new board member.
I have one last comment. I would just...
I don't know. Ma'am, can you give us your name, please?
Marilyn Dwyer.
No.
My name is Diane Quarta, and it's spelled K-W-A-R-T-A.
I just want to say that when I stood up before, I asked this board to table this until you had a chance to get feedback from the employees. And I was very disappointed to hear that the reason you weren't going to table it was because back however many years ago, you wanted to punish Mr. Hay, Mrs. Sims, and myself because we were on a board where you felt that you weren't treated fairly. I wasn't asking for myself. I was asking for the employees of this district. And I think that you have made a huge mistake, and I think we will see the consequences of that decision.
Anybody else like to address the board?
I just want to, Gary Guts, it's spelled G-U-B-Z. I just want to agree with what a couple of these people have said. I think on some of your parts, I think it was very hypocritical. I think a lot of people realize that too, that you jumped the gun. I have nothing against Mr. Amel, but I think we just needed time to let everybody see what's going on and decide there. And I can tell you, over the weekend, I spoke to a past president of a school district in St. Lawrence, and they did the same exact thing. They went through a vote. Certain members on the school board got voted out. At their next meeting, they immediately renewed the superintendent's contract. And the person that was the president of that school board said they did it on spite.
Anybody else like to address the board? Okay, we have a short executive session. There will be no business done after the executive session. We need to resolve the board appoint as the clerk pro tem. We'll do that after. But the executive session will be to discuss the employment history of a particular person or any clerk pro tem.
I'll second that.
By Richard. Second by Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to go into executive session. Richard. By Colleen. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll take a couple.